It's an all-new comedy at the Carlson Cast. That's right, carlsoncast.com. It's your favorite podcast. He's the sunshine of my life. It's Mr. Vinny Paulino. Look at that, everybody. He's waving and smiling.
Sad for you.
It's so cloudy.
Very superstitious. That's Brian Ball. Right there, he's gone. We're glad about that. Hey, everybody, it's me. That's Ross Johnson. And finally, last but not least, of course, you can feel him all over. It's Cam Tiller, everybody.
It's itchy.
With our special guest, Michael Costa.
You couldn't find a Stevie Wonder title to just cram in there for Michael Costa?
There was very little prep work done on that.
I understand.
This morning, so there was.
I sensed it.
I could feel it all over. I'm an all-day sucker. We'd go all day long with Stevie Wonder songs, but let's not. Let's have a show. Welcome to the comedy at the Carlson Cast. I'm Vinny Paulino. I am your ray of sunshine that is your host. In the studio with me today, Brian Ball, my co-host.
Hello.
Hello. Cam's hanging out back there.
Hello.
Hi, Cam. How are you?
Great.
Yo, it sounds it. I believe it. Yeah, that was with some conviction.
And I'll tell you what, everybody. We really know how to find people with a lot of personality to run the board. The last guy had an excess of personality.
So we're evening it out.
Yeah, I think we're evening it out.
He's our palate cleanser.
Honestly, we were going to just put a bag of potatoes back there. But we needed something that could actually push the buttons.
Yeah.
Now it is the Carlson Cast, the big show. Michael Costa from The Daily Show is going to be here today.
Yes.
Got a lot of questions for him. The guy was a world-ranked tennis player.
I know.
Which is amazing.
What?
Who's calling you?
I don't know.
Who's calling you in the middle of the show? Who was it? I want to know.
It's a random 607 number, so who knows? Probably somebody saying
number.
That the IRS is going to come and arrest me tomorrow or something.
His other family, please come home, Brian.
They don't have
his other kids.
They don't have my number.
Had a wife and kids in Baltimore, Jack. He got on a laid out bike and he never looked back.
I blocked their number a long time ago.
I understand.
Aww. You're a terrible father.
And he's also terrible at standing up bicycling. So this is going well. This is a weird start to a show. But Michael Costa is going to be here. Tennis pro. He's on The Daily Show. And a lot of questions. A lot of interesting things. You know, he worked with Regis.
I did know that.
I have questions about Regis.
On the interweb.
Like, does he always have Werther's Originals? And what does he smell like?
Oh, that's
what
I like to know about. They're delicious.
I can imagine that Regis Philbin is probably the best smelling person on the planet.
Yeah. Really? Oh, I would have gone opposite. I would have said like Old Spice and Frustration. I think.
No, I bet you he's got like seriously expensive cologne, and like he has angels that powder him before he gets up every morning.
I wear this cologne, they just give it to me.
They give it to me, Galvin. I got nothing. Wow, we're doing Regis talk. This is the worst show ever. But you know what? Maybe you could help make the interview a little bit more interesting. The text line is open, 585-484-0265.
If you don't text us, we're talking about Regis for an hour, and it's going to really annoy everyone.
I hope he likes my imitation of him, because that's all I'm going to do. I would ask every question as Regis. So let's take a quick second and talk about a couple things that are happening at the club this weekend. Holy shit, boys. Showmageddon starts tonight. Bum, 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 bum. We have a very special show, and I'm going to pull up all the details here so I don't mess it up, but it's a cool show. It's called Let the Chips Fall, and it is an improvised stand-up comedy show. Now, there's going to be 7 performers on it, and it has been produced by Hillary Lyons and Andrea Springer.
Mm.
The comics in this, how about this? I'm going to tell you your headliner on this list. 2 of them, you ready? Malcolm Whitfield, BJ Scanlon.
Oh, BJ's like,
it's
a rare sighting of BJ Scanlon, and he is hilarious.
That is worth the price of admission right there, because that kid is on another level. So I'm very excited.
Funniest person in Rochester one time, didn't he?
No. Stand-up comedy off the cuff. Can 7 of Rochester's best comedians be just as funny if they are unprepared? Let's find out. With improvised stand-up, audience members text in topics. These stand-up comedians must then, on the fly, improvise comedy inspired by your submitted topics. We never know what's going to be said until it's too late. So that's tonight. Tickets are $10. Show starts at 8. It's going to be in the Rickles Room. It is the kickoff to Showmageddon, and we are very, very excited for that. So break a leg to everybody on that show tonight, and let us move forward, shall we?
Cool.
Always forward.
Isn't that our state motto? Oh, upward.
Always upward.
Unless you're Vinny, which is sometimes suddenly downward.
Suddenly downward more often than I like to admit. Now, Cam, let's do the serious stuff. Let's get it out of the way. Hit up that, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
There it is. Boom. Tomorrow, October 20th at Frontier Field. Join us to fight the disease Alzheimer's as we walk to end Alzheimer's. Did you know that more than 5 million Americans live with Alzheimer's and other dementias? More than 16 million family members and friends provide unpaid care. The Alzheimer's Association is putting this on. To register or find information, you call 1-800-272-3900 or visit alz.org. Together, we could raise awareness and funds to enhance Alzheimer's care and advance critical research. I'm going to be there. Cam said he's going to be there with me.
Yes, sir.
So we are going to be good people and be there for this awesome event tomorrow.
I wish I could. I'm occupado tomorrow, yeah. Unfortunately.
He's playing second banana tomorrow, too.
For one day in my life.
For one day in his life. He's busy. His hair needs to be washed. So let's talk about our sponsors real fast, and we're going to kick it over to stand-up news. Sapori Cafe and Catering, ladies and gentlemen. Cafe, catering, eat in, have them bring it to you. They got it figured out, Chef Joe.
No matter where you can get it, it's still good.
You get in the Powers Building atrium or at your very own special event.
If you're eating it in a rusted out Hyundai, it still tastes amazing.
It does. It's very true. Ask Cam. You can follow them on Instagram. You can like them on Facebook. You can visit Sapori-Rochester.com for more information. Or you can just go down there and get some lunch, because that's what I want to do today. I'm going to be a hungry boy by the time we're done with this show. I'm looking forward to the Halloween party at Three Heads Brewing.
As am I.
Our friends the Isotopes will be playing.
My wife is working on our costumes as we are speaking.
I see. Shouldn't she be at her job?
She doesn't start
something.
I'm
sure they'll be fantastic. Okay.
What are you going to be this year? Do you want to tell us?
Wonder Twins.
Oh, the Wonder Twins.
Yeah.
Are you the girl, Brian?
I don't know. We hadn't really assigned roles yet.
I got to be honest with you. I think it's interesting that you and your wife are going to play siblings. I find that to be slightly weird. I'm just going to call you out on that immediately.
We're aware of that.
Yep. My wife has a very interesting costume idea for us this year. I don't usually do the theme thing, so we'll see.
Well, I'm doing a couple.
We're
going to
be at Three Heads,
well.
And you're going to be at Three Heads and
yes.
Go to this party?
Yep.
Excellente. Good. Iron Smoke Whiskey, handcrafted in upstate New York. Applewood Smoked Whiskey, ironsmokewhiskey.com. Available in two varieties, Applewood Smoked Whiskey and Rattlesnake Rosie's Apple Pie Whiskey.
Almost Thanksgiving. Good time for apple pie whiskey.
It is the best time for apple pie whiskey. You know
what
else
is good?
So you
can tell that uncle of yours what
you
really think about him.
Come back to me, Cam. That would be good. Thank you, pal. So we are now going to... we're moving right along this morning, aren't we, guys?
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Moving.
I love it. Let's kick it over to my pal Ross Johnson.
Hey, everybody. Good morning.
Good morning, Ross.
Good morning, Ross.
Cam, I want to know what your... Cam seems like a Halloween guy. I want to know what Cam's doing for Halloween.
Well...
He's not invited to the Three Heads party.
I'm actually doing a couple's costume as well. I will be Pennywise, and my girlfriend will be Georgie from the movie It.
Oh, that's with her arms or without her arms?
I'm trying to get her to cut off her arm, but she's she said maybe she wants to wear the coat again. So
I see.
Yeah. That's even slightly creepier than Brian and his wife going as siblings.
Yeah.
But you know, give us a happy marriage.
Yeah.
But to be fair, we do know that Pennywise and Georgie did it.
That's true. That's true.
I didn't see the director's cut.
Is that what they're driving at? Is that they bang?
I just assumed.
I think that's in the book, right? That's not.
I don't know. Stephen King did a lot of coke back in the day.
There's a lot of stuff in the book that they didn't put in the movie, including the circle jerk.
Okay, let's just move along.
It was like an orgy, right?
How about we move along? And we did some innuendo. I don't feel like we need to go down through all of the picadillos that Stephen King felt. He needed to cram into a book about a clown.
Oh, so Brian can make his wife into his sister for Halloween, but Cam and I can't talk Stephen King. Uh-huh. All right, I get it. It's fine. Okay, so here's you want some news, Vinny?
I want some news, Ross.
Please.
You want to just skip to the end here.
Oh, so much I want to skip to the end.
Okay, so you'll recall we mentioned Damon Wayans abruptly quitting Lethal Weapon a couple weeks ago. He's returning officially to stand up. So maybe we'll see him at the Carlson.
Maybe.
Remember in Living Color? That was such a good show.
It was a good show.
That was a really good show.
Listen, Damon Wayans, you're always welcome here.
Of course.
Just tell that dumb brother yours, keep clear. Tell Marlon to keep clear. We got beef.
Keenan Ivory.
No, he's cool.
He's the director.
Damon, Keenan Ivory, Marlon, and...
there's another one.
Right? Freddie.
Willie.
That's
Willie Wayans.
Freddie Prinze Wayans. Okay, keep going, Russ.
Okay, so we like Tig Notaro, right? She's developing a new show on ABC. She's got a pilot commitment for a show called Thicker Than Water, which they're describing as a genre-defying comedic drama that covers some familiar territory but with a different focus, whatever that means. But nonetheless, Tig Notaro's cool, so she's going to be on Star Trek, too. So.
Oh, is she going to be on Star Trek?
Yeah, she's on the new...
Can I guess her part?
Sure.
Vulcan?
No, I don't think so.
Really?
No, she's like she's like the chief engineer, I think.
Really?
I guess she could be a Vulcan. I don't know. You know, I don't want to be racist. Have you not about, like Vulcans can't be engineers, but
no, I just feel like Tig could play a straight character very well. Like I saw her show that she did for Amazon, where she knew how to like keep things really low. So I just assumed she could like play a Vulcan pretty damn well.
Yeah, the one clip they had, it was sort of like, it was a little straight man-ish, but it was sort of like a joke. Like they were. Oh, we're heading toward these black holes. And she's like, I thought we were all going to die, so that's good. You know, is that kind of thing. So.
I don't get it, but let's keep going.
All right. Nerd humor.
I can do all sorts of jokes.
Still waiting on one.
Yeah, I know. This is a rough morning, Vin. Richard Pryor.
Hey!
He's a funny guy.
Hey!
There's somebody that we don't need to apologize for. So, I'm Richard Pryor. We talked about the Gilda Radner documentary, the
George Carlin biopic.
Mm-hmm. There's a new Richard Pryor documentary coming. This is produced by his widow, Jennifer Lee Pryor. It's going to, his entire life, good and the bad, as well as it's got a lot of celebrity cameos talking about him, including Carlson alumni.
Which one?
J.J. Walker.
Oh!
Yeah.
I'm sure he has lots of things to say about Richard Pryor.
Absolutely.
I hope they got Paul Rodriguez in there because Paul Rodriguez has some great stories about Richard Pryor.
I didn't see Paul Rodriguez. I mentioned Lily Tomlin, Sandra Bernhardt, Tiffany Haddish, a few other people, but I did not see Robert Rodriguez. But maybe he's
Robert Rodriguez is busy directing something.
Yeah.
All right. I listen. I really can't get enough Richard Pryor stuff because like every story about him that I hear offstage from people. Are crazier than the next. The guy really had a fascinating life. I heard some stories about him and Cosby that I won't repeat.
And we're both friends with his daughter.
I love how you think you're friends with everybody. We're acquaintances with his daughter.
Acquaintances, whatever.
Right? Yeah.
We exchange Twitter messages quite often.
Who do you think told me the story about him and Cosby?
Oh.
Well, but there's stuff out there. There's like public stuff. Like he didn't like Bill Cosby. Which he seemed to be like he seemed to get on that train at the right time. Like that was
good... he was ahead of the game.
See, the one thing we always know about Richard Pryor, always right.
Yeah,
yep.
And always it was the one thing you thought he was wrong about. Like everybody loves Bill Cosby. Why would you hate Bill Cosby? Turns out the one thing.
A lot of comedians hated Bill Cosby. Yeah, I mean, if you go back to like Raw with Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy did a whole bit about what a dick Bill Cosby was.
Yeah.
You know who Richard Pryor didn't hate? Marlon Brando.
I believe that.
Sexy times with those.
Yeah.
So that's the rule.
No, that's true. No, I think
that was confirmed, yeah.
I think the family's like, yeah, they totally boned.
Cracks.
Oh, that's nice.
Yep.
Good.
Which
Stella.
You can't really picture it, but
Stella.
little morning imagery for your breakfast.
Absolutely.
Oh, God bless them.
Absolutely. So finally, of course, this is just a regular. I need to make a logo. For this.
Can I guess?
Can you get?
Are we about to have a Kit Kat break?
Of course we are.
It rhymes with
of course
Fat Billums.
Our good friend, who we love dearly, Cat Williams, come down to the Carlson, please, because
we very well could get him soon if he just keeps it up.
You have no bigger fans than you do here. So good news and bad news for Cat Williams. Do you want the good or the bad?
The good news first. Let's
He's out of jail.
Hey!
Out of the food emporium?
We posted the bail ourselves.
He's out of the food emporium. He's out of jail. The bad news is, of course, he was in jail.
I was going to say, I don't remember that.
And this is it's so convoluted what even happened, but apparently he was supposed to be in court in Atlanta on a warrant in Atlanta, but he went to the Emmys instead. So we talked about when he was at the Emmys with Tiffany Haddish, and that, this all like
yeah, yeah. I'm supposed to be like core right
of,
now.
This is like Game of Thrones with. Cause, wow. Yeah, so this was the he got in the beef with Tiffany Haddish, went to the Emmys, squashed the beef at the Emmys with Tiffany Haddish. Turns out at the Emmys he was supposed to be in court in Atlanta.
Cool.
Didn't show up, so he was arrested on that warrant. Cat Williams says he didn't know he was supposed to be in court, and of course he would have done the responsible thing and gone to court.
Yeah, why would he do anything that isn't responsible? Why would
he do anything irresponsible? So he was in a jail.
I can imagine him talking to his lawyers. What do you mean they put court at the same time as the Emmys?
Don't they know?
Just yelling at everybody.
Don't they know my schedule?
But so they got this warrant when he was arrested in Portland, Oregon, for allegedly assaulting his like Lyft driver or his Uber driver.
Who hasn't?
Why would you not?
He just is amazing.
He's out of jail. Apparently, they're not going to extradite him to
Georgia.
Atlanta, to Georgia, because that's sort of a. I mean, that's sort of a horrible
he's
thing.
Fighting
to do.
Extradition.
He's fighting extradition.
What was the charge?
He's
in
living
Atlanta.
In the Argentinian embassy with
Edward Snowden.
You know what? I don't know. And like, it was very. It
must have been minor if they're not extraditing.
Yeah, it was relatively minor, and it didn't. This was very this took a lot of research to even figure out. Like I'm tracing week to week here on the show. We're
you should
tracing
see the maps he has. He has a big map of America with pushpins and
strings.
Strings.
I wish they'd extradite him though. I really want to see Cat Williams in a Con Air situation.
God,
you know where he's in the plane with his. Cuffs and stuff.
Yeah. Ross made the awesome. Best point. We really should send him to that Argentinian embassy. You know how fast Snowden would leave?
Like
he'd finally have the easiest way to get him out.
Cat Williams, serve your country. Do some good.
Move to Argentina.
Move to Argentina. Actually, don't, because I mean, come on, Cat. Well, who is the best celebrity? Who is the best comedian? The best celebrity right now? It's Cat
Me.
Williams, clearly.
Oh, sorry.
And then number close second is Vinny.
Thank you. Great job today, yeah. Ross.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to be back with our big interview this week with Michael Costa. Stay tuned, and don't forget, you can text in your questions right now, 585-484-0265. Stay tuned. We have a packed fall schedule here at Comedy at the Carlson. Check out these great shows coming up. October 18th, Mr. Rick Matthews. October 19th and 20th, Michael Costa from The Daily Show. Dave Koechner, whammy! November 1st through the 3rd. Brad Williams, November 8th through the 10th. Jimmy Schuber, November 15th through the 17th. Dr. Dirty John Valby's Thanksgiving Eve Bash, one night only, November 21st. Robert Kelly, November 23rd and 24th. Carlos Mencia, November 29th through December 1st. Bobby Slayton, December 6th through the 9th. So, that, like I said, it's a pretty packed schedule from now until the end of the year. Come see a show. Visit CarlsonComedy.com or call 585-4COMEDY for tickets. We'll see you at a show soon. Hey, everybody, don't forget to watch us live Friday mornings on Facebook Live and YouTube. And if you wouldn't mind, give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram at CarlsonCast. If you just want to listen to the show, you can check us out on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And you might want to check out this little neat app that just came out. You might have heard of it. It's called Laughable. It's pretty incredible. If you haven't seen it yet, it's a great way to connect you and your favorite comedians. And if you forgot everything I just said, visit us at CarlsonCast.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Comedy at the Carlson Cast. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are joined in studio by our guest today. You may know him from The Daily Show. It is Michael Costa. Give it up for him.
Hey!
And see, I know you at home feel that energy, you know, but really, in reality, it's just Brian and I clapping and Michael while he sits on the couch.
Yeah, we got
it's
a lot
little
I don't even think you guys clap. Somebody hit the clap sound effect.
We get a good echo in here. It sounds like a lot more people.
It's
than
the
it
exterior
is.
Paint. Yeah. Now,
did Tom Green do this lighting?
He certainly did.
I've always been a fan of his lighting, and he's done a nice job.
Did Mark Ippolito tell you that?
No, you guys told me that eight times, eight different people.
I told you that.
I told him at once.
Oh, you did.
I told him at once. No, it just feels like Tom Green lighting.
It does. Yeah.
Not quite as chaotic as his early work.
Correct. Actually, a little more thought-provoking and social and kind.
Which, honestly, really sums him up as a person.
It does.
So, welcome to Rochester.
I've always said that the way you light a room is more or less your personality.
Yeah,
what?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, thanks, everybody. It's nice to be here.
I sit in
Parents, my parents met at Rochester Institute of Technology 50 years ago. They celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary this summer. I'm here really to pay tribute to them. That's not true, but they did actually meet at RIT.
So they were students there?
My father was a junior, my mother was a freshman, and my dad showed up to help the freshman girls move in. You know that old trick?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Four kids, 50 years later, it worked. Nice job, Dad. Yeah.
Yeah. Well played,
and he
sir.
Got in that puss. You know who else did? Me, because it's my mom, and I came out of it.
Oh, good thing you clarified.
And so did
yes.
Your pop did too. So that's beautiful.
That's gross.
Hey, Cam, make sure he's not spiking too much on that audio.
Because I'm a yeller, Cam.
He's a yeller. So, Michael,
Your
parents met at RIT. This is your first time ever being here.
Correct.
Probably didn't want to come here after you learned that, did you? Like, that would make me want to avoid the place.
Well, I'd always heard about Genesee Cream Ale. Is that a real thing?
Yes, it is.
Is it still a thing?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. So my dad was like, yeah, that's all he ever told me about his college years. So I was kind of curious to see that. And I believe there's even a Genesee billboard in this club.
There's a,
Well,
it's one of the oldest breweries in America.
Okay.
Honestly, man, if you're in Rochester, I could get you like a bathtub full of cream ale for like $2.
Wow. For $2?
I can make that happen for you
today.
Well,
that's what my dad always told me. He said that it was like this dog shit beer, but it's what he could, and sorry to offend the locals, but he said it was what he could afford in college.
Right.
So that's all I knew about Rochester. So here I am. I'm going to perform, and I knew that my dad and my mom here. But I don't know much about this place other than my father told me there's no way he could ever get into that school now.
Right.
Because he said back then they used to let in dumb people.
Sure.
And now I guess it's actually like a really wonderful school.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
What did your dad do for a living?
He majored in photochemical engineering. Duh.
Sure.
George
Rochester.
Eastman, Kodak. Sure. Boring.
Right.
But now he ran a travel agency.
Ah.
And then the internet happened, and then he retired.
So do they hassle him to be part of the alumni society?
Yeah, they probably do because, University of Illinois, where I went, I will try my hardest to eliminate myself from their database. You can't. It's impossible.
They know. If you have that piece of paper
money.
On a wall,
give me money.
They can track it.
Give me money. Because you pay tuition for 4 years, but you can donate as an alumni the rest of your life.
Yeah, exactly.
My community college never asked for my input.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, never.
I guess they have enough money as is.
Well, to be fair, you didn't graduate. So.
That's true. That's true.
You know, like,
that does activate the alumni donation when you graduate.
Diploma?
Yes.
They go, I mean, it's bad enough. It's a community college. Didn't finish. We ain't getting anything out of him. So I have to ask you this question.
Sure.
You're here in Rochester.
Yep.
Your name is Michael Costa.
That's correct.
And in the news in Rochester, you walked in here and said, boy, it's a bad time for me to be here.
I did not know this story until this morning's local television, which they didn't ask me on air, thankfully. But some
I say that's a hard-hitting morning
TV program.
Somebody
came up to me and said, we have this guy who's a similar name as yours, basically the same name minus one letter. Yeah. I'm Costa with a K, ladies and gentlemen. And I guess he's been getting in some trouble with the young girls.
He's Costa with a C, and that C stands for children.
And that C stands for children. And he's accosting children.
Uh-huh.
What's the story here? Do we want to talk about it?
He's a teacher.
He's a teacher.
I'm just going to say, it's kind of weird that you came into town and you show up in the news.
Well, there's never been a better time for me to molest, I guess, huh?
You got an alibi.
Is anybody laughing at home? Is anybody laughing at home?
You got the wrong Costa.
Double jeopardy.
I was in Australia touring once, and they have a politician named Michael Costa, C-O-S-T-A. My name is K-O-S-T-A. So it's all over the place, you know?
Now,
maybe I'm the best meaning the least corrupt Costa as a last name?
Well, the nice thing is you do have the K to distinguish yourself.
The K is a very distinguishing factor.
Does the K indicate a different nationality or something?
I think it does. We grew up thinking we were Czech.
Mm-hmm.
Czech Republic.
That would have been my guess.
Right? We supported Czech. We would cheer for Czech in the Olympics.
Bought Czech cereal.
Bought Czech cereal. Exactly right.
Like to make little marks on everything.
You know, I remember there was like a female downhill. There was like a female downhill skier, and she got the silver, and we were proud of her.
We all got jerseys.
You know, and she had a mustache, but we didn't care because she was Czech. And then in 1997, true story, 1997, my father took 27 Costa with a K family members over to the Czech Republic, and we realized and found out through translations that we were not Czech, that we were Ukrainian, and it was K-O-S-T, and they added an A when they came over because they would always fuck with your name when you would come over.
Sure.
I guess if you befriended somebody on the boat and they're like, we can give you a job, but you got to change, and they would just do that.
Sure.
So there we go. What is K? What is this? This guy that's been fiddling the kids, what's his, where's he from?
No idea.
About to be prison.
Is he charged or is this alleged?
Alleged.
All right, so we have to be
member of
that.
Teacher, substitute teacher.
Oh, substitute.
Hilton, which is a suburb.
Okay.
He's out in the suburbs.
Typical suburbs. That's why I always say to families, don't move out to the suburbs. Your kids will get molested. It's alleged. You have to say alleged because there might actually be like repercussions, not for me,
we're
but
looking
for your
at you.
Show if we just say this
you're
man
just
is going to
leave.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's the funniest thing in the world. He doesn't really look like you. I got a picture of him up on my screen here, Cam. You can pull it up.
Yeah, I want to see a picture of this guy.
Yeah, that's him right there. For some reason, they're not letting me make
Do
it
you guys, and this is going to sound terrible if I haven't already put myself in
okay,
hot
Cam.
Water. Yeah. I feel sympathy for these people, and I know who I'm supposed to feel sympathy for.
Well, it's been a great interview today.
Is the victim, and the victim I feel sympathy for also. But can I ask you this question in all seriousness? Can you feel sympathy for both people, both the victim and the what's the opposite of a victim?
Perpetrator.
Perpetrator.
So I guess it depends on. The crime,
yeah,
I think is really.
But there's zero sympathy for a pedophile in our society, right?
Right.
And by the way, this is I don't like kids. But whatever. I love that I have to say that.
Yeah.
As a preface,
nobody really likes
kids. I feel bad for both. I feel bad for everybody.
Okay.
I feel like that's not.
You just feel bad that it happened.
I feel bad that it happened, and I also feel that the victim is the worst, 100%. But I also feel like the person that does it. They're sick, I feel like. I feel like there's a sickness. And to not feel empathy towards someone with sickness, I think, is wrong. Do you guys? Did I tell you that I'm also like Jesus? Did I tell you guys that?
tell me more.
You're just lining up
I'm
and knocking down the
spot,
defense,
but I just,
offensive
I,
things.
Do you have a newsletter I could sign up for? I'm interested in your beliefs, but I don't know if I want to quite commit yet.
In today's world, I think we should be feeling more sympathy and empathy for everybody.
Now, that's an interesting thing.
And that being said, don't commit crimes. Okay, but anyways, go ahead.
Especially against children or anybody.
Yes, of course,
really.
Of course, of course, of course.
You took a long road to get there, but you made a good point.
You know, I think that it is a good point, and I think that there is a bigger message there. Maybe we shouldn't worry about, you know, caring more about the pedophiles, but, you know, we should care more about people in general.
And if my platform is not care more for pedophiles, you know.
I'm glad we cleared that up.
I feel sadness and sympathy for anybody who does such a terrible thing. I don't know. Maybe I should be a prison warden or something.
No, I don't think you should with that feeling. I don't think you should.
Let's change the subject. Anyway, right. I have the same name as this guy who might go to prison for a long time.
I have a question for you. You grew up in Michigan.
Yep.
You played tennis.
That's right.
Quite a bit. World ranked.
I was world ranked.
How high up did you get?
864.
Man,
who's
not
keeping
bad.
Track?
No, but that's pretty good. Apparently you are, but that's really
track.
Good.
It may be the signature to my email.
The WTA. kept track of that.
That's the signature to my email.
864th ranked.
I'm ranked. I was ranked. That was my highest. Mm-hmm. The highest I was ever ranked in tennis was 864 in the world singles, higher in doubles. and they rank around 5,000-6,000.
Yeah.
And usually when I tell people that, they laugh and they go, oh, I don't even know they rank that many. Well, they fucking do. Okay. And I was towards the bottom.
I play tennis. I know. Yeah. That's a big dig. Is this a big
tennis city, Rochester?
Yeah. It kind of is. Yeah.
It's got the weather for it.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. But it's got the liberal wealth.
Yes.
Is there liberal wealth here?
We have the demographic.
We have the demographic. Okay.
We also have the conservative wealth. Got a lot of, rich folks. Yeah.
You need wealth.
Yeah. There's not a lot of kids that are, a lot of poor kids going to go hit the tennis balls around.
It's not a correct. That's why the Serena Venus situation is so compelling.
Yeah. Right.
Because they grew up in Compton.
Yeah.
They used to have gang members would protect their court while they would train.
Which is amazing.
It's insane. It's also why tennis and Serena clash, if we haven't figured this out.
Right.
Yet, you know, through many, many U.S. Opens of umpires and Serena.
I think it's a marvelous display of civic pride, really.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And it is a wealthy sport. I would love it if it became less wealthy. However, by design, when the English stole the sport from the French 600 years ago, they wanted the scoring complicated so the uneducated couldn't learn it.
It's intentionally ridiculous.
It still works. It, to this day, poor people are like, and guess what, poor people? We don't want you, okay? Why don't you play your little sport that counts by ones? All right? No, it's crazy. It was designed to eliminate a certain demographic.
You mentioned that, and I'm sitting here in my brain going, how the fuck does the tennis scoring system work? And I honestly don't think I know.
The easiest way to think of it, and this is not entirely a fact, is a clock. You score 1 point, it goes to 15. You score 2 points, it goes to 30. You score 3 points, it goes to 40.
That not 45.
And then the next one, you win the game. But yeah, it's complicated. Love is a score. Love is a score.
I've heard it was levels.
Love means nothing.
I thought love was a verb.
In tennis, it's a noun.
Yeah, it's a noun. It's a verb. It's whatever you want it to be. Love can be whatever you want it to be, Vinny.
Because the
and that's real the real message today.
Yeah,
let's have sympathy and let's love.
There's been so many messages today, because the French would say zero to them. They would say egg, œuf.
Yeah.
And the English heard that and they thought they were saying love, œuf, œuf, œuf. See, practically the same words.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you,
it's amazing.
I mean, obviously, to get ranked as high as you did, you had to be pretty damn good at tennis and really put a lot of effort into it. And anybody who wants to be a professional athlete, and I take it that's what your goal was to be a professional.
That was the goal. The goal wasn't to be sitting at comedy at the Carlson at age 38 in a shoddy webcast studio. You guys, by the way, right before I said that, both of you looked at me like, say it, dude. Say it.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
We're going to kill you right now.
Yeah. There's two of us.
Did you see the guy with the beard out there?
It'll be a well-lit beating up of the comic. We'll say that.
You will be able to see the carnage. Well, I asked
I don't know how it works for you guys. You guys are everyone's a comic here?
Yeah.
I don't know how it works for you guys, but when I started comedy, it was like, oh, this was here the whole time. It took me forever to like get there. But for me, it was always tennis, sport. And then as soon as I did comedy, it was like, oh, this is really what I'm supposed to be doing. I just didn't realize it yet.
Yeah.
So, like, as a kid, did you grow up, like, watching a lot of stand-up? Were you into it?
Yeah, a lot of stand-up. My parents saw Bill Cosby a bunch of times, listened to his records, of course. You can't say that anymore either, huh?
Your dad loved Cosby and the cream ales.
Dennis Miller was my first live concert.
No shit. Wow.
I'm like 10. I don't even know. I still don't know 80% of the words he used.
I didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah, I know. I mean, this was before he was like a conservative radio host. Yeah.
I just like it when he says babe.
Yeah.
I just like it.
And babe. He does his hair thing. I love Dennis Miller's. The Off-White album I loved.
That is a great album.
It's a great album. And
I don't think people give him the credit that he deserves.
For sure.
He really was amazing.
Because he's an outcast politically from the world, but he's hilarious comic. And big family. I don't know. Are you guys from big families?
Kind of.
Are you youngest?
I am the youngest.
Comics are always the youngest.
I am the youngest, yeah.
Yeah, comics are always the youngest.
I think that is true.
It's an attention thing.
How many siblings do you
youngest
have?
Youngest of four. And I really think I'm really just still trying to get my parents' attention.
Yeah.
You hear that?
How's that working?
John and Jan? That's why I came back to Rochester.
There will be a fireworks display after this 10 o'clock show Saturday. Michael's parents will be there.
Yes, they will.
We might be able to get like a key to the city or something. I think that's pretty easy. Now.
I would love that.
I think I got one over here.
You got one over here?
Not that hard to come.
Hand them out like candy.
I'll tell you where I'm not going. Hilton.
It is not safe for you there today.
It's not safe for me there. It may not be safe for me in Rochester after that opening segment.
Just go to Hilton and pay for something with a check.
Yeah, right.
Who?
So like how, you know, when you're spending all your time working on tennis and you were going to college too, how did you just decide I'm going to step on stage? How did that even come about for you?
Yeah. You know, I used to always write down things that made me laugh. I don't know why. I don't know. You know, every comic is different in how they ended up being a comic. But I literally have journals as a kid of being like 5 years old. It's not five. Excuse me. Fifth grade. And I would write down what made me laugh that day. What? Isn't that kind of psychotic? I don't know.
Now, hold on a second. When you say you write down the things that made you laugh, like someone made a joke about farts at lunch and you would write that down.
That would be written down.
Your intellectual property, just the stimuli around you that made you laugh.
Correct. There are times when I would say, and then I've read these journals, I'd be like, I said this, everybody laughed. You know, isn't that funny?
But it's just great.
Things that happened that were funny.
Sure.
So I would, and so then that became a little bit of a habit. And then as I was playing tennis, there's all this stress of an athlete, and I needed a way to decompress.
And tennis is the most stressful sport.
Tennis is pretty stressful. And a lot of sport, you know, sport with no clock, you don't know when it's over.
Yep. And you're all alone.
And you're all alone. It's kind of like stand-up, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Very much so.
It really is.
Very vulnerable. Very much your fault, often, if it goes wrong.
Yeah.
So I used to write jokes on the sidelines of tennis as a way to kind of just get my brain off of it.
Okay.
And then I started coaching tennis at University of Michigan as the assistant men's coach. And in the city of Ann Arbor, where I'm from, wonderful city. Lot of... great place to start any art. Small community, very supportive, tons of open mics. Mm-hmm. So I had these books of things that I thought were funny, and there was a comedy open mic at a German bar called the Heidelberg.
And we all know the Germans love to laugh.
We all know how funny the Germans are, voted literally the worst sense. They're literally voted the worst sense of humor of every culture.
Really?
Now we will have a joke. And
is this joke will last 32 seconds precisely?
Yes, precisely. Here is the joke. The train was 1 minute late.
It sounds more like tragedy.
Yes, that's right. So there was an open mic and did that. And here we are living the dream.
So how long ago did you first step on stage? Like how many years ago was it?
This was 15 or 16 years ago. This was, it's 2018. This was 15 years ago.
Good, because that's a proper amount of time. Sometimes we get guys in that seat, and they go like, oh, I started a couple years ago.
By the way, those guys are lying. And then for the first 5 years, I did every single show imaginable.
Right.
Terrible shows. I mean, laundromat, no stage, no mic shows. Yeah. Drive 2 hours to get 4 minutes for nobody show. I mean, that's what I just tell every comic. Stop performing for audiences that already like you.
Yeah.
Like, that's the big problem.
Wow.
Solid
advice.
It's very hard to hear it. And I'm saying this as much to me as I am to anybody. That's the problem with the cafe, coffee shop show. Do those shows. Mm-hmm. Also go do shows where no one in the audience looks or acts like you. You know, like, you just get sharp and you get tough. And in it's a business where you do need to be tough. And I'm saying this as a guy wearing a cashmere sweater who played tennis.
But ladies and gentlemen,
I'm giving toughness advice.
I've said I learned how to be funny in VFW halls.
Sure.
Because I sucked at the first few of them, and you just had to learn how to figure it out.
He learned how to be funny because all the soldiers, just old soldiers, stood there and made fun of him.
Made fun of him. Yeah. They have PTSD, but not from war, from your act.
Yeah.
Brian has it now, too.
I mean, look, you can't bomb over and over again, and that's no fun. Yeah. You hate yourself. Yeah. But mix up where you're going.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mix up where you're going.
I want to backtrack a little bit because I have to ask you a question. Like, tennis in any type of sport is just a major, major commitment.
Sure.
And when you first start getting into stand-up, that for a lot of people is also a very, very major commitment, because I've heard a lot of people describe stand-up as like very addictive. Like the first time you do it, when you get those laughs, it gets in your bloodstream and that's what you want to do. I can't imagine having two things that I'd be that passionate about at the same time. How did you balance all that? And obviously comedy won.
Comedy won. And that's a great question. And there's no way I could have done comedy when I was competing at tennis.
Sure.
So that answers your question. But I was coaching tennis and performing, and I realized, oh shit, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, you know?
Right.
Yeah. As much as there's a calling for this job. And but then the reality hits of like, oh wait, you have, life requires money. So I use tennis. Tennis is a great way to make a couple extra bucks while you're trying to figure out your comedy career. Excuse me. And
didn't work for Brian.
Didn't work for Brian.
Than me.
You. Sorry, yeah. Brian. That's Brian. That's awkward on camera to figure out who Brian
is. It's not. You're fine.
Okay.
And this is Phil.
Okay. Yeah. You should have a little name.
We really should get name tags in here. It might be helpful.
It'd be helpful. But you need a way to make money when you're trying to make it as a comic. And tennis was an easy way to do that. And so I always say the hardest, your two biggest days as a comic are the first time you perform and then when you actually quit your day job, because that's also very scary.
Yeah.
When you're just doing comedy now, it's like, oh crap, I have to say yes to this gig.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of you have an interesting story. I mean, tennis, stand up, and then you end up working in television.
Right.
And that's like the opposite direction.
But
you were producing and like developing stuff, which is being creative, obviously, but it's very different. How did that happen?
You get so tired of, as a stand-up comic, you're constantly creating, writing, creating a point of view, creating responses and reactions to the world.
Sure.
I got tired of auditioning other people's reactions and thoughts on the world. It sucks.
Okay.
You're reading the scripts, you know, in L.A. or wherever you're, you know, wherever. You're either going to act and do someone else's words, or you're going to try to create something and do your words. So I was always just like, I want to do my words. I don't want to do their words.
Well, when you put it like that,
it
makes perfect sense.
Yeah. But it's very hard to sell stuff. And for a decade, I was in L.A. trying to create and sell shows, and we got close on a couple. And we sold some stuff, but nothing really ever took off. And then,
were you more into the idea of becoming an actor, or you wanted to create?
I want to host and create.
Okay.
Yeah, I have auditioned as an actor. I've done some tiny things, if you will. I don't know. I'd have to check the IMDb page on that. But I always liked. I'd always rather be me than someone else. So, but nothing against that. And in fact, it's a lot more work if you are cool acting.
It's the privilege of stand-up is to just be able to be you. But then when you try to translate that into other forms, it's hard because directors like want you because you look a certain way, not because you act a certain way. You know?
Yeah, and there's 100 people that can do the fucking lines. You know what I mean? Like, so they want you because you look, you know, you look a certain way, or you look what they envisioned for the role.
Or they don't want you because you look a certain
way.
Right.
I mean, I've literally got prepared auditions that take lots of time, walk in, and I hear them go like, oh, he's too tall. And it's like, well, would you mind if I did my performance before we decided that? But I wanted to create and
when you hear that, does it make you want to dial it in?
Yeah,
and just,
for sure.
You don't, though, right?
You don't
go for it. No, you don't dial it in. Like, what I'm saying, like, when you hear that, you still, like, oh,
shit.
Yeah,
you still go for it. I mean,
now I got extra pressure to change their mind.
Yeah. I mean, sport helps you with this. It helped me, at least. If you lose your match, if you lose, you always want to walk off going, like, I played my game. I did what I know how to do best. And that's what I would always try to do with auditions or stand-up. It's like, yo, not everyone's going to like you. Sometimes you're going to suck. Sometimes the casting director hates you. Sometimes the audience hates you. But when I leave and I go home and I'm in my car or I'm in the hotel room, I need to look in the mirror and go, like, I did what I do. I can't do anything else.
Yeah.
I want to be fucking Michael Costa, Kosta, not Costa. There's a big difference. So you need to look. This business is no. You're going to hear no all the time.
Yes.
All the time. That's why when the Daily Show said yes to me, I fucking freaked out crying on the phone because I hadn't heard the word yes in like 5 years.
Yeah.
But someday you can be a star and, you know, be in Rochester crushing it.
And how did that all come about with The Daily Show?
They were looking for a new correspondent, and it was kind of a blanketed audition. Send us 3 minutes of something that you feel passionate about that's mm-hmm. in your original voice, which, by the way, you talk about...
We should have sympathy for
pedophiles. We should have sympathy for pedophiles.
They said yes to that, didn't they?
That would be a great fucking topic.
Great.
I mean, in my opinion, it would be. Because no one else is going to do that.
No.
Right? You set yourself apart on that. And if you can make it funny and make a point, it could be interesting. So, anyways, I did a... My audition. My first audition was about the Second Amendment. Mm-hmm. And just how it needs to be updated. You know, that was a gun thing I did. And then you have to do another one. But anyways, they reached out to agents and said, we're looking for a correspondent. The straight white male correspondent that left, mm-hmm. I was like, they need a straight white male mm-hmm. on the show. They kind of hire based off of demographics.
Well, one of the rare shows that needed one.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was like, I literally called my manager and I was like, I at least have a shot based on the demographic because right. they need this person.
Yeah.
You know, and Jordan Klepper left because he got his own show on Comedy Central and auditioned a bunch of times and, you know, here I am. So, yeah.
What I think you do so great on The Daily Show is like, and you fill that Jordan Klepper role well. In
sure,
the,
thank you.
You do you always seem to get stuck with the guys who aren't having it. You know, like sometimes on The Daily Show things, you know, the guys, they kind of figure out halfway through and right. they kind of play along.
Right.
No one plays along with you. Yeah, no one plays ball with you.
I think I'm an easy, you know, I think people just physically look at me and they're not like necessarily rooting for me. So yeah. they're already like, who is this douchebag that is like tall and, you know, whatever. So, try to use that as much as you
can.
Did
this guy bring a tennis racket?
Exactly. Like, who is this, you know?
Like,
so,
like, I watched the Great Lakes one
sure,
last night, and
sure.
that guy was
yeah,
not
yeah.
into it. He did not want to play along.
I got a lot of negative response from that piece. They said I was being so mean to this author. It's on my website. It's a piece where, by the way, should actually resonate with Rochesterians.
Nailed yes. it.
Yep. Is that what it is?
Nailed it.
Oh my God. Lucky on that one.
Is that love? Is
we
that
are.
The point? Yeah. I don't know how that works.
The love. No. We are completely ruining our Great Lakes,
yeah.
which is like a fifth of the world's fresh water, and uh-huh. nobody gives a fuck. Anyways, I was making fun of this author, and I got a ton of email like, you're such a dick, such a dick, such a dick. And I'm like, you know about the problem now. You
yeah.
know about this guy's book now.
Yep.
Also, he said yes to this, and he's a fucking, like, we email each other. He's a buddy.
Yeah.
But it's like, the whole point is that you know about the problem now.
Right.
You
yeah.
didn't know about the problem. I'm a dick, sure. Our lakes are fucking polluted.
Yeah.
So, anyways, I responded to five people, and then I just had to stop because it was, like, too much.
I find that really interesting because, like, people don't realize that there is a point to it. Like, you could be an asshole, but they...
I don't give a fuck. If you think I'm an asshole, but you now know that we have to clean up a fifth of the world's fresh water, I'll take it.
Yeah.
I'm good with that. You yeah. know what I mean?
I think that is a noble thing.
Chad thinks it is too.
And it yeah, gets us to that 1824 demo that wouldn't have known a goddamn thing about it.
They
before.
Don't even know what a fucking book is.
Yeah.
They now
yeah,
saw
they're
a
never
book.
Gonna,
yes.
They're never going to go walk into Barnes & Noble because they don't exist.
Correct.
And just be like, oh, I'm going to grab this.
The book is called The Death and Life of the Great Lakes by Dan Egan. And I recommend anybody who is anywhere near the Great Lakes read it because as soon as we have a weak moment, Russia, China, anybody is going to land right here and steal our fucking water. First, we need to clean it up. Then they'll steal it. Okay. Thank
but
you, everybody.
Don't you think that maybe if we just keep it a little dirty, maybe they won't want it as much?
I think you're right. I think you're right. So it's a defense. It's actually a play.
Yeah.
We're playing
4D like,
chess.
Like scratching your car on purpose that
like
first
that.
Time just
yep.
to get past it.
It's like when people buy luggage yeah. that's really expensive and then they spray paint it.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
People do that?
Yeah.
I did not know
so that. It doesn't get stolen.
Yeah.
But that you ruined it.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Right.
Gotcha.
Or they'll put their initials on it with like some like stencil.
Nail
ink.
Polish.
Yeah.
Some stupid. So listen, when you audition for The Daily Show and you do that and you do a thing about the Second Amendment, do you have to like keep the traditional ideas of journalism in your mind? Or is it more, I'm just gonna. This is how I feel personally, so this is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, I don't know those rules.
See, okay, that's the answer.
I mean, you know, John Stewart screwed it up for everybody because he was so smart. He made people think that it was sometimes wasn't a comedy show.
Right.
It's a comedy show. I mean, Trevor's the same. Trevor Noah, the host now. It's like we're not journalists. It's a comedy show. We go for the laugh first, but you usually walk away knowing a lot of stuff you didn't know, or feeling a certain, you know, feeling a certain way about a political topic. Now, I believe any argument is better with evidence. Mm-hmm. So I just kind of wrote the audition as I was trying to convince somebody of something, but it's much easier to convince them if they're laughing. So I don't know the rules of journalism. And what's beautiful about comics, mm-hmm. and this is sometimes muddled right now, is we don't have to follow that shit. I get so mad when people think that we're elected officials or reporters. We're not. We're comics.
And sometimes we lie.
Sometimes we lie. And it's like, they know that because they come up and they say, is that true about the thing? Because it's like, these are jokes. So stop holding us. We're not elected officials. We're comics. Oh, you're surprised Louis C.K. is a creepy dude? Why? He's been talking about it for 30 years on stage. Why? It's like it baffles me that they're held, that it's like you thought these were upstanding people. I'm not saying some of them aren't,
right.
But it's like insane. This person's been talking about jerking off for 30 years on stage. This baffles you?
Thank Christ
we're
not elected.
You really got me in trouble on this fucking thing.
Thank Christ we're not elected.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, because think about who they would elect.
Make sure we... Yes.
It'd be Jeff Dunham
think
constantly.
About think about... What'd you say, Jeff Dunham and who?
I see Jeff Dunham constantly.
Constantly, exactly. Think about
Dane Cook.
Who's popular as a comic. That would be most likely who they elect. And, you know, usually the more popular the comic, the worse. Usually.
Yeah.
Not always, but...
Often. The more popular the comic, the worse. All right.
Usually the more popular anything, the worst. Bud Light is probably the number one selling beer. It's fucking garbage. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, I'm not saying popular means terrible, but usually the masses have the wrong choices.
Have a penchant for terrible.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Penchant.
Hey, Cam, please make sure you note down to put pedophile and Louis C.K. in the metadata for this
please.
Episode.
Do it.
Pedophile, you know, Louis C.K., Michael Costa.
I was Costa. I was backing off of
I said
that.
It the Czech
Costa
way, sorry.
Costa is the name of the freaking pet, the guy, so you can't say him. I'm Michael Costa. I was a little worried that I was going into that pedophile thing. I'm not afraid to admit that I feel sympathy for people that I think are sick.
You feel sympathy for the mentally ill.
Yes, and I do believe that that's a sickness.
I think we could probably all agree on that.
Yeah, but you guys are too afraid. Too afraid to
I just agreed with you on that.
That's true.
Doesn't mean I have to feel sympathy for anybody.
And it doesn't mean we won't edit it out.
I've taken a lot of oaths over the years. That's not one I'm going to take. That's not one that I'm going to participate in.
Not a hill I'm going to die on
today. I don't
today.
Think I'll ever run for anything, but in case I ever do, I don't want that soundbite out there.
Hey, settle a bet for us. Yes or no? Regis Philbin smells terrific.
Regis...
Does he smell like just rich, like rich man?
He smells of wealth and
Werther's.
And we used to get, once a week, some woman would send us flowers to him. And you know, I was on this sports show with Regis for a year. And once a week, these flowers would come. And I was always like, who's sending these flowers? They're like, it's this woman. She sends them to him every week for like 40 years.
Hmm.
It's like, what? He used to play Bing Crosby in the dressing room to get ready. It was like, what? One time he spilled coffee on his tie, and instead of throwing it away, he signed it and gave it to me. Like, do I want... what?
One more time.
Yeah.
You're telling me Regis spilled...
coffee on his tie so he couldn't wear it on the show, and he signed it and gave it to me. And, you know, it was like, I think it was a nice... gesture, but it's also like, so now I have it hanging up as like a total fucking joke, but it's just like,
I have a question. What did he give you for Christmas?
Well,
like just a shirt he had spaghetti stains on.
Now I will say this: I walked through an airport with him, and it is insane. He cannot go anywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Regis, and everybody had breakfast with him for 30 years because he would be on. And so everybody feels like they know him.
Yeah.
They would stop him. He couldn't go anywhere. My aunt's sister went to seventh grade with you. And he would go, is that right? Every time he'd smile and say, is that right? And then he would just fucking try to get the fuck out.
So he hates it.
No, he understands it's a reality, but does he want everybody bothering him all the time? No.
Nobody does, but I'm just saying. But is he the kind of guy who walks away like, fuck them?
No, he's very nice. He's very professional. He's very nice. But he's moving. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, you have time with him, but it's a split second, and you better hurry up because he's not waiting. He doesn't want to hear the whole story.
So he's got that down.
He's got that down.
He knows how to just keep moving. Oh, third grade.
Is that right? Goodbye. That's amazing. Thank you. Goodbye. You know, like, boom.
Does he pull the Florentine and look at him and go, what time is it, and go the other way?
That's a good idea. I didn't know. Is that a Florentine joke?
Yeah. No, it's what he does to people.
I love it.
Watch him do it.
He'll walk him and go, what time is it? And they look and he just walks away.
I love it. That's great. I think he's done that to me like 10 times, actually.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But I just love that every Regis story is completely insane and totally plausible.
Yeah,
like I've never heard one of them that I was like, no, that didn't happen. I'm like, yeah, that checks out. That makes sense.
He is a treasure. He's not. He's 89, 90?
Yeah, gotta be.
I mean, the guy puts so much butter on his steak. I don't know how he's still alive. I mean, it's like just butter. You know, like usually it was. He's a fascinating guy, and it was fun to work with him. I'm lucky that I got to. I don't know if he would know who the hell I was at this point, but it was still fun.
But yeah. the kid with my tie. Yeah. Find out how that tie's doing.
I gave him my tie. I had heart surgery. They opened me up like a lobster. That was his go-to
joke.
Is
he like that all day? Or
yeah, when he's on. You know, he's always, that's his, you know.
Yeah.
Costa, you're not listening to me. You know, it's like, yeah, he would do like a thing or something, or hit the table, and that's his big thing.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's funny.
Like when you get that gig and you're like, oh, I got to work with Regis, you're super excited, right?
Yeah, I was excited, and it was fun. It was, we would shoot 6 to 7, the show was on from 5 to 6, it was on Fox Sports 1, 176 live TV shows, nobody ever watched it. And we would shoot from 5 to 6,
Did Fox Sports thought they had like a winner there too, didn't they?
Yeah, they didn't know.
We got Regis.
They needed to focus on launching a network and then the show. But anyways, they the rest of us, there was 5 cast members. We were there all day.
Sure.
Writing the show, creating the show, working on the show. Regis would show up at 4:30, straighten the tie, do a little zing, zing, zop, and then do the show, and then he'd be gone. The car would come pick him up. So it was like we didn't get a lot of time with him, but the time you had with him was high energy, positive, and fun, you know?
Right.
And then that's what he gives you.
Like, do you get the feeling that, like, before he walked out there, he would just drink, like, a gallon of baby's blood or something? Like
Yeah, like he's sold the soul to Illuminati or something?
No, just something that keeps him young. Like, yeah. Just some weird...
There is some depth. Yes. I don't know what. Yes, he had this guy who would help his wardrobe, and I forget his name. I'm so sorry.
Metastopheles.
Yeah, Metastopheles. There's something going on that keeps these people young. And by these people, I mean anyone in show business over 80 that's still working. Yep. And it's like, what are you doing? And I don't know. I guess they don't share it with you until it's time.
He had a young ward. He would get a blood transfusion from every day or something.
Correct.
Do you just go into a room after so many Academy Awards when you hit a certain age, like drink from the chalice?
Drink from the chalice. Yeah, or it's like every day it's a different person who's putting on Regis's face or something. You know, it's something weird.
Literally with the stapler.
Yeah, a different face.
It's amazing.
That's funny.
Oh, that's fascinating. But 4 shows this weekend with Michael Costa right here at Comedy at the Carlson. You get your tickets, call 585-4-COMEDY, or you can visit carlsoncomedy.com. What's wrong with me?
Yes, what is wrong with you?
I don't know.
So much. Michael, I know you got to get out of here today, but I just wanted to say it's been a pleasure meeting you. And when they give you your own show on Comedy Central, which eventually they will because that's how it works.
Okay.
And you need a fat friend. And you need a fat friend. Okay. Let me know.
I have to admit, guys, I didn't think you were going to be as professional as you were. I get the email that says, do you want to do comedy on Carlson's? They said podcast. And I always kind of
immediately people cringe.
I always say yes, but I always cringe because I'm always like, it's always in some closet, some like open micer for 3 months that doesn't know how to work the headphones. I walk in here. It's Tom That's Green. Cam. It's Tom Green lit. There's surge protectors.
Sure.
There's green screen fill-ins. There's set design. There's people that have actually read a bio. What?
Yeah.
Thank you for it's been a pleasure and a joy, and thank you for having
You're
me.
You're very welcome.
Before
You're
I let you go, can you do me a favor and just stroke my ego and tell me about one terrible Comedy Club podcast experience for me?
It's normally just not very thorough, and I go like, when do you guys release? Well, usually Monday, sometimes Thursday. It's like it's just like, oh, no one's listening to this. You know, and you guys are like, yo, you need to be here because we do it at this time. And this is when people tune in. That's great. Keep it up.
Thank you.
I'll go home and I'll tell the other comics, be nice to their face, but say no to the podcast.
Perfect.
Say yes to the podcast, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You and Gary Goldman both. Zazing.
Zazing.
Thank you very much,
Thanks,
Michael.
Everybody.
And
thanks
I look
for
forward to seeing you tonight.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Cam, hit the credits,
buddy. Hit the credits, Cam. All right.